you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on LiveParanormal.com, the Live Paranormal Network. Wonderful to be here. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. We're here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and it's the best, I think, the brightest, certainly the loveliest, most lovely minds in the paranormal community are here for your listening pleasure every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm a talk radio host, and I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. My guests, I'm just waiting for them to call in. Wonderfully talented guys I've known for a long time. Fantastic filmmakers. And they got a brand new film out. It's called 222. They are the Booth brothers, Christopher St. Booth and Philip Adrian Booth, will both be here. I'm very excited about that. Just waiting for them to pop on by. You might have heard me during the intro calling out the number to them, so they knew what number to call in. I hope not. I hope I was muted. I'm still learning the whole technical thing of live paranormal. You know, it's funny because you've been talk radio host for so many years, but every time you go to a new place, you have to learn the technology. And slowly but surely, we're getting that learned, and I'm so happy to be here. I also do 3 video web series for live paranormal on our channel. It's at facebook.com/theliveparanormal. I do I Am Raising Your Vibration on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Pacific, Haunted Playground After Dark, the companion show to this Haunted Playground. See how I did that? Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Pacific. And the Soulmate Experience with my very own wonderful soulmate, Lynn Arney, at Fridays at 9 o'clock right here on the Live Paranormal video channel. I love doing these web series for Live Paranormal. I started with them in June. Then they asked me to join the radio channel. I've moved some shows over. Haunted Playground, the show I've been doing here in Los Angeles since February of 2010. So a happy 11th anniversary to us. And I love the new format. I love being here. I love being part of the Live Paranormal family. And now slowly but surely, I'm bringing my family of paranormal people that I love over to my show here. An exciting announcement next week, next Tuesday, I'm bringing another radio show here to Live Paranormal. It's my Raising the Vibration radio show. I'm the founder of the RaisingTheVibration.org nonprofit, and it's a peace, love, kindness, unity nonprofit. Carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane, after she passed. And so I do a show called Raising the Vibration. It's kind of where the spiritual world meets the world of give back and people's passions and how to make the world a better place. That's going to be Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time starting next week on the Live Paranormal channel. And my guest is going to be the amazing Andrea Perrin, who was my first guest here when we launched Haunted Playground here at the beginning of the year. So my guests are here. I love them both. They've been guests on my radio show so many times I can't even count. They're so talented. Their films are so wonderful. And they're such great guys, and they really care about the paranormal and spiritual community. And, you know, one of the focuses of Haunted Playground is to bring those two communities together. There was a time when the paranormal side and the spiritual side were very disengaged. And as I was interviewing people on shows, this show, many of my shows in Los Angeles, I really couldn't get people in the psychic world to talk about paranormal, and I couldn't get people in the paranormal world to accept that psychics were real. And speaking with Christopher and Adrian, they were some of the first people that really sort of helped to talk about weaving the spiritual and the paranormal together, because they really are one community. Maybe you might want to put a slash between the two or a hyphen, but it's really one community, my friends, and I love when we think that way. So welcome to the show, Christopher St. Booth, Philip Adrian Booth. It's great to have you both here. Thank you for being here, my friends.
Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. What an honor to hear you both. It's been too long.
Yes,
it has been. I don't remember how long it's been.
Look at you two. The way you two talk and think, you think you were twins.
Nope.
We've
never.
So what is new in your world? How are you dealing with, as a creative person, right, a quarantine? Why don't you tell me first? We'll talk to you first, Philip. How are you dealing with a quarantine that has shut entertainment down, allegedly? What have you done during this year to stay a creative person? Because when you're a creative person, right, you've got to keep that fire lit all the time.
Well, I think what's most important is to turn off the bloody news.
Yeah.
Turn the news
I hear you,
off.
My friend.
Don't watch TV. But honestly, I think the most key part for creative people during a part like this is we have no choice but to change the way that we perceive things. I think that if we keep buying into this stuff, and it's an awful time, and we can be very, you know, affected. This being an artist, you're very empathic, so you can very affected. I think for us, at least for myself, is you need to create through this time. You need to find that long masterpiece, whether you're a painter or an artist or, you know, a songwriter or a movie maker, script writer, and do that. Use this to create. Do something, because this time, through this time, I get to write my masterpiece. I get to paint this. And that's really what we've been doing. We've actually been doing a lot of creation.
And this is the perfect time to create, right? And I tell my clients that, I tell my friends that, this is the time to make something, because many of us have a lot more free time than we have before. Even I have kept my same busyness of schedule, but I don't have all that time of driving from place to place. Everything comes out of the home now, right? So we have a lot more time to be in our insular place, and this is where we create, right? This is our writing space. It's our creating space. It's like you were given a free year to make things. Go out
exactly.
And make things, even if you're not, you know?
Yeah.
And what have you done during this year, Christopher? Is this, what place in the film that's going to be coming out soon, where were you in the production or pre-production of that film when the quarantine hit?
Well, first of all, what haven't we done this year? We've done so much stuff. I mean, we just wrapped up our brand new show, The Attached, and that's about seven stories about bringing home possibly unwanted guests through attached objects. And that was 4 years in the making. Obviously,
wow.
It changed a lot of our lives. And the stories are very intensely scary, intensely emotion, lots of emotion, lots of love about it, too. It just did basically, whether it's the real exorcism box of Annalise Michel, which is the real Emily Rose, or John Wayne Gacy's paintings hidden in an armoire, or haunted dolls that have real human hair where the children had died and they were sewn on these dolls and then they
yeah.
came alive. Whatever it may be, we told the stories, and it was very emotionally, because obviously not only was the world going through a lot of change, but personally I went through a lot of change too. So
you did, yeah.
I think hand in hand, it made me a better person and made me really respect life even more than – I've always been spiritual, so – but it really kind of slapped me across the face, and then watching the world blow up in politics and, you know, with a virus and everything else is kind of like the icing on the cake. So, but I'm happy to have got out of my hole. I'm happy to see the world getting out of its hole, and the show is doing fantastic. And it's actually going around the networks right now. We're hoping that Discovery Plus will pick it up, because they reached out
Beautiful.
To us. So, cross your fingers. But meanwhile, yes. It's on DVD right now, and we're actually producing a brand new horror movie as we speak, which is going to be filmed next month. So we're very excited and very busy.
That's wonderful. And can you tease that a little bit or no? Is that a super secret?
Yeah, sure. No, well, I mean, it isn't. I can't really say what it's about, but it's just about it's about a medical society institution that studies something that you do every day, and something went wrong, and it created a whole entrance to a different world. And it actually really is something that you do every day. And we're going to make sure that you don't want to do it every day, because we're going to show you what happens when the darkness comes out of it. And it's
wow.
a very scary movie. Wonderful. It's got like a monster in it and everything. And it's just, it's something like a Slender Man meets, Stranger Things. So it's
sure.
it's based on truth, but it is a fictional film, but it is based on truth.
That's fantastic. Now, what do you think? Well, now we're off on another tangent. So I'm going to go off with me on this tangent for a minute, because you know we do go on these tangents, my friend. What do you think, in your opinion, both of you, what do you think Slender Man, Hat Man, what do you think that is? Because
what,
a lot of times in spiritual practice, clients will just out of the blue say, in the corner of my room last night, there was this man in a top hat just staring at me. I mean, it's a lot more common than we think, right?
It is, I guess. I mean, I know that
that's
for Philip.
But what we seem, to be honest, and I don't want to swing back on the tangent about the attached, but, I guess that's what we're discussing here, is those urban, this is good. Listen, that stuff is phenomenal entertainment, and we all love to be scared. But honestly, Sheena, there's nothing scarier than the truth. There's nothing scarier than the real thing. And when we watch those movies, we don't get scared because it's entertainment for us. Because when we're doing some of these shoots at these real asylums and hospitals and institutions, or these real cases of ghosts of serial killers, or that stuff is pretty, like the exorcism box that consists of the real Emily Rose. These real stories are incredibly dark,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but they all
mm-hmm.
have hidden. They have this hidden light about them too. So it's
yes.
watching seems almost like comic books to us. It's kind of crazy, because that stuff based on urban legends is made up, or based on a myth. Well, the stuff we do is based on actual facts, and having the actual objects that were used in these situations that carry these attachments of sort, and how they've affected, these are real cases, and we talk to the people that have these things, and of course in our cinematic style, we recreate all this stuff in a very filmic formula. It's hard to take your eyes away from it. That stuff is kind of, I don't know if that answers your question, it's more entertaining to us than what, we do this on a daily basis, so it's like,
sure. No, so I'm gonna call you guys out. Do you not believe that there is that Hat Man lore is actually some kind of an interdimensional? And I say this only because my mom had a Hat Man encounter twice when she was a child. She didn't know what Hat Man was. And one day right before she died, she was doing this show. And I knew about one of the encounters, but I'd known since I was a kid, that's before anybody talked about Hat Man. But I didn't know until she was doing the show. She's like, and then I saw that same guy again. So halfway across the country, and this time three stories up with his leg swinging off the branch of a tree outside of her window. So it seems like there is a phenomenon that is Hat Man. And I don't know that I think it's just lore. I think that more things than heaven and earth, right? I think we've just begun to scratch the surface of interdimensionals and what that means, that everything isn't necessarily the ghost of a dead person or a demon. There's other stuff too.
Without taking this too heavy or giving away the attached, I absolutely personally, Chris, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the encounters that we had at St. Albans Sanatorium, Chris, that would represent to me, would you agree, that it's an interdimensional plane of existence that we were able to catch a glimpse into?
What I think is you see it when you're ready to see it, And I think you have to be open-minded. And I also think you create it out of what you're going through and also what you need to go through. And you're blessed to see it. And whether even a form of a darkness or light, I think that there's a reason to see it. I mean, there's no like somebody comes up to you and tells you a story and then you say, well, what did you do about it? And they go like, well, nothing. Well, why did you blow the sign off then? You know, it was a big sign for you to, you know, maybe think a little bit more interdimensionally or think there's something a lot bigger than just us humans, you know, fighting
right.
over politics and silly stuff like that. It's a lot deeper world. And I think in the world that we're in, and we're very blessed to be in it, and I always feel that it's the spirits bless us to let us see them, because a lot of people are non-believers. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the concept that's cool, always singing, like Nasser Ali Khan, he says, you know, I'm a great singer and God gave me that gift to sing, but it's also a blessing from God to have people appreciate that kind of singing. So it kind of makes you want to really appreciate it so you actually get that gift, you know, and I think it's
absolutely
a blessing to be involved.
Absolutely. Chris, when was your first paranormal film? Was it 10 years ago, 11 years ago?
Well, our first one was paranormal was Death Tunnel, though we did
right,
have
cool.
paranormal stuff on the other one before with Matthew McGorry. So, yeah, Dark Place. So it was Death Tunnel that actually brought in the paranormal, because we started seeing it. It was all over the camera and all over the audio.
Right. Was that 2010, Death Tunnel?
No, 2004.
Oh, wow. Okay, so...
At Waverly. And, sweetheart, I'll just give you... I don't know if I've told this story on your show before. The viewers have... the listeners have heard this, but in a quick nutshell, we went in there to make a horror movie with sexy girls in
right.
the 90s. We are based on urban legend. It's not that we didn't believe in it. It's just we never had any real general experience in it. But when we were shooting at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, we had so much happen to us there that it was absolutely impossible to not start to believe it. I mean, you know, roughly when you see something like that, I'm sitting there with a big film camera shooting on the third floor in Waverly Hills, and a girl's walking down the hallway in a nightie. Of course, you always wear a nightie in a hallway, right? They're walking down there, it's hot, and all of a sudden I feel like a bag of ice goes right through my chest. And Keith Age, which we all love and know, he was the investigator at Waverly Hills at the time, and he said, well, that always happens when you see a ghost. And I went, yeah, good one, buddy, you get me all psyched up to make the movie. And I went back to look through the lens, through the eyepiece, and there was a thin film of ice on the front of the matte box lens, which is the glass you put into the matte box. And that was incredible when it's so humid. That's impossible to happen. And it was only when we took the film back and got into post that an exact time code that happened, there was an image of a blurred little girl standing in front of the camera. That was at the point, and never mind the millions of other things, well, not millions, but the dozens of other things we all experienced that set, that truly made us believers. And when we went to Sci-Fi Channel and told them about it, the head of acquisition said, we want you to make a documentary of filmmakers that go to a place like Waverly Hills and have real stuff happening while they make a horror movie. Hence, we started with Spooked, and here we are now.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that, everything happens for a reason, right? You talked a little bit before, Chris, about how you've had a rough year. And I think that nobody wants to have a rough year. Nobody wants to go through the painful things that we go through. The life lessons, the challenges that spirit puts before us. Right. But you come out of it a stronger and more connected person. You know, my mom was my best friend, my only family. And I spent most of my life thinking when she died, I would just probably lie down and die too. And then she died. And in her passing, she gave me this wonderful gift of you know, my nonprofit and starting my spiritual practice and all of these things that she was, that she taught me that maybe I wouldn't even have done had she not passed. So I try, especially since then, to never be a person who says, oh, that was, even if it was, there's usually something behind it. And as bizarre as that was to be in Waverly Hills Sanatorium, making a fun, sexy horror movie and have all this crazy stuff start to happen, two of you, right? And it thrust you in a certain direction that you might not have been in had it not been for that, and where you were so desperately needed in this community. It was almost like there was a hole that nobody had filled, and the powers that be went, guess what, you two? It's you guys.
Thank you.
That was actually Ray at Sci-Fi who said that. Chris and I have been twins for a long time, and we used to share everything. And we used to get, like, one side of, you know, Dark Side of the Moon, and Chris would get the other, you know, actually the double album of Pink Floyd, or CD, I should say. And so we didn't really want to do the twin thing, but he goes, you know what? The Booth Brothers. So he's the one who did that.
Right, but you know, it was where you needed to be, and I think a lot of life sometimes is not fighting against. It's when, you know, when your higher power steps in and says, "This is what you're doing now," the answer is kind of yes. And so I think the fact that you two followed that current, right, and didn't fight it, and then became this voice in the community that nobody really was, sort of, as I said, not just weaving together the paranormal and the spiritual, as I said at the beginning of the show, but also weaving together the world of, you know, the paranormal and mixing it with this world of very truth-telling, legit documentary filmmaking. But with a beautiful dramatic flair, because you had the background of being narrative filmmaker. So your films look beautiful, but they have all this documentary truth in them.
Thank you. The Attached is actually one of our proudest pieces of work. It's got to be one of the most cinematic, and it has to be some of the most touching scenes we've ever done, and some very, very most scariest scenes that we've ever done, because I like to think of it, and this is really unique, niche for us. We call it the film that the spirits wrote. When we go in to write the shows on real cases, we use investigative data from multiple groups and, of course, our own investigations when we're there to actually reach out to the spirits so they have a way to have their voice appear in our stories. And a lot of the time, they aren't the story that everybody knows. We get to uncover new stuff, and we feel that this ability for them to speak through us as a vessel and put it into our film. A prime example of that, a lot of people don't know, with Death Tunnel, is that when the actress who played Tori was playing the nurse that jumps off the roof, the famous story about the nurse who jumps off the roof because she's pregnant in the TB era, we actually shot that on the roof where she was allegedly jumped from that area. And we took a 45-foot scissor lift up the side of Waverly. Mm. So she actually jumped off the building onto that lift. And she was standing on there in a period wardrobe. She jumped off onto that scissor lift, and the whole scissor lift shook. And we said, oh, my, she's crying and everything. And I said, oh, my God, what an incredible scene. That's incredible. She goes, no. You don't understand. I didn't jump. I was pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And from our filming that, I mean, the actress was completely freaked out, and we had to take that rest of the day off. But we felt that we were learning a new clue, like supernatural detectives. And that got us into realizing that we take our evidence and stuff, and we go in there, and we write, that we do the ghost hunts first, you know, and get the data, and then we go write their stories and match it against the history, and then we're able to tell another part of the story that where they have no longer a human voice, a mortal voice to talk. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's really powerful. It's very important. Yeah, and like I said, the fact that the two of you stepped into it and you didn't question it, you gave it all you had. I mean, you didn't sign up when you went to make Death Tunnel. You didn't sign up to become like these voices in the paranormal and spiritual world, but you became that. And I can tell in the time I've known you, I think I've known you since 2010, how much you've changed. I mean, it's actually come in and changed you as well as spirit will, right? I mean, it's in your personal enlightenment and ascension, its experience has changed you both from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm. Once you see it, you can't. I mean, if you truly get connected to it, you can't just brush it away. Because I remember when I first saw it at Waverhill Sanatorium, or say Children of the Grave, when we first experienced the crying children, EVPs, and I just had Gabriel. That was my first, my only boy, and he was just born. And so, I would do anything for him, help him start crying to comfort him. But then you went to a grave and then you caught an EVP of a crying child and you didn't know how to do it. You didn't know how to comfort, a ghost child, so to speak. So it really kind of retched at your heart and, all those kind of things. And you get EVPs where there are no children at all. And then you get back in the hotel and you're listening to what you get and you hear things like, a girl say, "Mommy, why is Daddy doing this to me?" And you go like, "Oh my God, there was no children there, and this is so clear." Like there was a little girl in the room, and you go like, "We have a mortal or immortal obligation, a moral obligation, to go back and try to find out what happened, to try to create closure for this person, so that they can get out of this darkness of limbo." I mean, even kind of what I went through, it was a form of darkness limbo. And I realized that once you get out of it, you're so glad. And you know what you really, what I needed was just some good friends and another light to follow. And imagine in a ghost situation, see, even incredibly more, you need someone to help you find the way and say, "It's okay. You can move on. It's okay." Or, "Hey, this was your name," or, "This is how you died. And this terrible person did this to you, but now you need to let it go. And, don't haunt. Move on with your next ascension," which could be reincarnation, actually, So that's how I feel blessed, is that we get to tell stories of people that can't tell them anymore so that we can help them move on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talking about the attached real quick, when did the idea of spirit attachments sort of first come onto your radar? Because that's something that, when we were kids, people never talked about spirit attachments. It was either you were possessed or there was a ghost that hid in the corner or walked down the stairs or was on the highway. But you never talked about the idea that spirits could attach themselves to you and it not be a full-on head-spinning possession. So when did that first start to sort of come on your radar and realize that this is a real problem? People are getting spirit attachments all the time. And no one is preparing people for how not to allow that to happen. And a lot of people are in a huge crisis and in misery, and they get misdiagnosed with mental illness, or they get misdiagnosed with hysteria or mental breakdown or physical breakdown. And what's really going on is they're carrying this hitchhiker around with them, right?
Yeah, well, what's happening really is what's happening is that you're in a turmoil in your side, in your own life. So you're open for an attachment. I mean, when you watch our show, we have some incredible doctors, scientists actually breaking it down, which is fabulous when you see schizophrenia actually being versus having a spiritual attachment, and you go through the list and it's exactly the same. And the only thing that is different is a schizophrenia you can start to see come over in time, where spirit attachment happens immediately. You've changed. Boom. And you've got something.
Right.
So when you go like, "What did I do? Where did I go? What did I bring in my house?" And that's what's really what the attach is about. I know that when I had a company, which I still do, called The Haunted Bazaar. And basically it started selling the props that we used in our movies and haunted things that we had picked up and we didn't want to keep anymore. And then suddenly all these weird things started showing up. I never even looked for half the stuff. They just ended up finding me, and they were as real as could be, whether it's a copy of The Exorcist Diary or the real Annalise McKell exorcism box. Imagine that landing on your steps in a trunk, and you open, and you're going to go open it up, and you're scared to open it up because you know it's got a very infamous exorcism attached to it, and you don't know whether, you know, some kind of energy is going to come out or not. But all I had to say is you've got to have faith, and you've got to also be very firmly believing what you're believing, because if you have a crack in your system, it's going to get through and screw with your psyche, and then obviously you could become attached with what is lingering on that attachment. And so I think to answer your question, it's when we started just doing a lot of stories about haunted places and bringing haunted objects home, like a wheelchair I had from an old hospital. The very next night I heard people, which is weird, but people walking around from a wheelchair, an old 18th century wheelchair, or dolls, hearing them cry in your living room. And you're going like, oh my God, you know, we got to figure this out. So it fascinated Philip and I, and we wrote the stories, you know, the story behind everything that we were able to get through the history and through everything that happened, and told it. So that's kind of that, how that went down.
It's amazing. And I think you're going to find when this is released, right, when it's on a mass discovery, wherever it winds up going, you're going to find that now you're going to become the spokespeople for attachments. People will come out of the woodwork to tell you their attachment stories, because I think people are terrified. Just like, you know, I grew up in a really active, negative, haunted house, and nobody talked about it. We didn't talk to anybody about it. We thought we were all crazy. And then suddenly all this information started coming out, and I would watch these shows, and I would think, oh my God, this, everything these people were talking about happened to me too. And then I realized I wasn't crazy. It was just a thing. And I think now for people who have had attachments or have attachments, they're now realizing, hey, you're not crazy. It's just a thing. And like you said, the attachments come when there is a physiological, an emotional, and or a spiritual weakness within you. The attachments prey on people that are allowed to come in because that person is compromised in some way. So you're already going through something, and then you get an attachment on the top of it, and then your life, you know, really goes crazy. So it's such an important thing, and I'm so happy that you did this.
I thank you. I think it's really important to also understand, because we all love horror movies and we love to scare people, but attachments aren't always a negative thing. And I think it's important to also tell that side of it. Just think of a little girl or a little boy that had a doll, whether it be the 1800s or early 1900s, loved that little doll so much. And then the doll ends up in a thrift store or in a Etsy or whatever, and somebody picks it up and they bring it home, and that love is attached to that doll, and people immediately jump to think that it's something scary instead of sitting down and investigating and holding that doll, as giving that doll love and transferring the love from the entity to you. That kind of connection is a beautiful attachment. And I think it's really important, especially in this paranormal world, that we all don't go jumping demonic and evil and possession and all this stuff, that it's a two-way street too, just like it is on this mortal earth. Good and evil exists in that world as much as it exists in this world.
Absolutely,
yet I think
evil
sells. I mean, come on, it does. Even look at the news, negativity sells. I get all that. But that's what I love about the show too, is we balance it out from a haunted painting that was painted in an old asylum, and dolls that were loved by children that died, or serial killers, or exorcism of possessions, or a person that has been attached to a specific hospital constantly looking for their baby. It's an amazing story, and without tooting our own horn, and I don't know how to do it without doing that, but I believe and I challenge anybody actually to say that it's not, there was nothing in the world like the show The Attached. Nothing.
Mm.
You will not see anything like this on television yet, anything in a film. This is truly one of a kind type of thing. You're truly into the paranormal and truly into the deeper sense of it, an empath, a mother that picks up a child when you walk into an asylum or something like that, as well as the evil stuff. This is going to be something that's really going to deeply move you. And I'm so proud of it. It took a long time to do. It was hard to get all the stories and get the evidence to put it together. But this is kind of our kind of new landmark into a new direction. If any of this, Sheena, how much are we tired of watching night vision yet? Are we tired of things that go bump in the night? Lack of depth in this stuff?
Yeah, I am. I hate to say that I am, but my favorite part about paranormal documentary shows that do that is the beginning when they interview the people who've been in the house and they show and they tell the stories of the house. That's after that, when it just starts bumping around and, hey, oh, you know, what's going on? Are you a ghost? I'm going to kick your butt. That to me, then that's when
it's
gets
cold
boring.
In here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to kick, and everything's like, everybody's, you know, the profanity. So everything is just a bunch of beeps and you can't really hear what anybody's saying. Right. Yeah,
close
exactly. I mean, but I do still enjoy the beginning of those shows, the first 5-10 minutes, where they're telling the stories of the location and talking to people who live there or work there. That's my favorite part, because that's where you really get the history of a location. And to me, that's really good documentary filmmaking.
Yeah, you know, we love the history. We love telling the history and recreating the history and doing all that stuff, setting up, like, you know what? In a movie, you got to love the character so you can become, no pun intended, attached to that character so you care about the character. Why is that different in ghost hunting? I don't like the word hunting, but ghost exploring. Why is that different? If you don't have any emotion for the spirit, why should they communicate with you? If you're just there to, like, go, make me scared, I paid like this money, just, well, come on, it's not a sideshow. They're not, like, there for you to perform. You know, it's like,
it cracks
me up watching the show.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And also, why does anybody think you're going to get something from them by telling them how you're going to kick their ass 24/7? I never have understood why that was a good idea, because you wouldn't walk up, well, maybe somebody would, but I wouldn't walk up to a living person and be like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm going to kick your ass. Why would you do that with a spirit? What do you think that's going to bring in? And they're like, oh, somebody scratched my face. Well, you know what? If somebody walked up to me on the street and said, hey, I'm going to kick your ass, I'd scratch their face too.
Good point. Good
right.
girl.
You can't expect spirits to be like, oh, hi, after someone's been threatening. And what's with all that aggression? Why are we walking into a location that is, to me, a reverent place where there are still spirits of the living or entities that were no longer living, and we're going to kick everything's ass? I mean, isn't that just sort of, you know, why angels laugh at us as humans? I mean, it's come on, can we get out of our, like, angry monkey self and maybe think, this is a magical place where I am right now, where worlds are coming together. I'm going to have some respect for the entities that are here.
Absolutely.
Well, and we all, as humans, we need to respect definitely each other as well. I mean, just everybody needs to start pulling together and realizing there's a bigger picture, instead of everybody seems to be like backstabbing
Absolutely.
Each other and doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, we went out in the snow today, and it was like, here where we are filming in Indiana right now, it was about 7 degrees. But I have to say,
nice.
It was such a beautiful world outside. And I
nice.
Didn't see all
beautiful.
The craziness that's going on. All I saw was beauty, and I think it's a great place to be. And that can be, you know, obviously a crossover into an afterlife. I mean, you've got to enjoy life before you can, enjoy your afterlife. And they work hand
Absolutely.
In hand, and you have to have respect for each other. So it's a good thing, a very good thing.
Absolutely. And one thing about 7 degrees is you don't mind the social distancing because that face mask feels nice.
Yes, that's the best part of them. Yeah, I could say
that's
warm.
The best. That's when you want that face mask. That's that. Could you put like a little tiny space heater in that thing? That's fantastic. Where are you? Where are you both based now? Are you still where you were last time you guys did the show?
No, we still have an office in Los Angeles, and we have a house in Indiana, which is on the border of Louisville and.
Right.
Indiana, across the bridge, and it actually works out really well because everything is that we're filming is still in the 6-hour vicinity either way. You know, it's so like, for
Beautiful.
Instance,
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, which you would love, darling, and if you were ever available around. By the way, we're doing a lot of shows in July, so if you want to come to any of them, let us know, including we're going back to St. Alban Sanatorium, the Stone Mansion, Civil War Mansion, Randolph County Asylum, and the Lemp Mansion we're redoing. This is an exclusive for you. We just announced that we're going to be doing July 17th. We'll be doing the Lemp Mansion, which is incredible, but we're filming the whole movie at over 100,000 square foot haunted convent. And it's an old convent that is really, it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it still has an interior, and the exterior is like something out of a gothic movie or something. And we'll be filming the entire movie in that haunted convent. So it's incredible.
That's
yeah,
nothing scarier than a haunted convent.
Oh, I don't know. We're talking about
politics.
That's the only thing scarier than a haunted convent. Yeah.
Yes.
Dating.
I love that you're
virtual
in that area.
Dating.
You know, virtual dating. Yeah, that's scarier than a haunted convent. You know, I don't know if you two know, but my family's from Louisville. My mom was born there.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I didn't
and
know that.
So,
wow.
I love that area. I think it's so beautiful. And she used to call Louisville the gateway to everything. She'd say you go one direction, you're in the south. You go the other direction, you're in the Midwest. So it's basically the gateway to everything.
Mm-hmm. It is. And the gateway to moonshine.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Right. Moonshine this way. But also I think because of the river being there, I mean, it's a very mystical, haunted place.
It is.
I find it to be. As a matter of fact, the last time I saw you, Christopher, in person at Mid-South Paranormal, I was planning to go to Waverly Hills Sanatorium that next day, and I had the hotel for an extra day so I could go. And that night at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and there was a large black figure at the bottom of my bed, and it said, don't go to Waverly Hills. You've had such a great trip. You don't need that. Don't go there. Go do something happy. So I did. I'm of Irish descent, and I went down to, Irish Town instead, and wound up going to the Irish Historical Society and shop because I'll find that in any town in the world. And it turned out the woman who owned it, her mother-in-law had worked on the assembly line at the American Standard Factory with my grandmother and gave me all this information. My grandmother died when my mom was 5, so it was so magic that I didn't go that day. And that I did wind up going down there and learning about my family. So, you know, you gotta listen to what's going on. But Louisville is pretty haunted. It's pretty amazing. I do. I would be lying if I said I don't sometimes think about relocating there. I love it that much.
It's living in LA for almost 30 years, and I love. We lived in Malibu, lived on right on the ocean for a very long time, and lived even then we went. To the high desert, so both of them are beautiful, obviously ocean and desert, but I tell you, down here you can basically make the same kind of money but not spend the same kind of money, and I think that's really important for having a stress-free life as an artist, because you're not just working to pay the bills. Now you can actually do what you want to do, and I realize that, and of course it is a different world. You know, nightlife is totally different and everything is a little bit different, but you can really have a better quality of life when you're not just having to, you know, pay bills all the time.
Yeah, I agree. Christopher, what did you learn from this sort of bizarre kind of dark night of the soul year that you've had? I mean, how have you emerged a different soul?
Well, I mean, I can be frank about it now. It's been really hard for me to talk about it. It's been almost 8 months now, but I got really hurt really bad, and I've never been that hurt that bad, and it's cause it kind of like knocked me off for a loop. It was like within 5 minutes, I kind of lost my whole family that I built for 7 years, and it was like, wow, you know, it's really going to happen like that, and so I got really hurt, and so I needed to figure out, and I didn't turn to anything bad, or, you know, in the sense of where you could have, you know, gotten to a bad place, but I did feel that I needed to either, well, actually, you know what, here's something I never really told anybody. I heard a voice, and the voice said, you know, I said, I don't know what, I said, you know, I was kind of rolling back and forth. I stayed in my son's room for a long time because I didn't like the house because it had too many memories. And I said, you know, God, please help me, you know, the universe, please help me, whatever you really believe in, just please help me, I can't do this anymore. And I heard a voice that said, you must change everything. And I went, okay. So then I started pulling myself back together, and then I got like 32 tattoos in 3 weeks because I always wanted to do it, and I put it off my entire life, and I decided I wasn't going to put off anything anymore in my life. And, you know, usually people that get tattoo sleeves, it takes years and years and years and years. But I wanted it like right now, you know. So within 3 weeks, I got like 32 tattoos. And then I started exercising, changing my diet, cut out sugar, started, just doing everything differently, focusing on a better life, staying away from anybody that was negative, especially people that hurt me, friends that were taking sides, all kinds of stuff that was just really, I mean, nobody really knows what really happened, and I really won't talk about it, but it was really, really, really almost destroyed me. But I didn't let it. So what we ended up doing is we said, well, you know, we're going to finish The Attached, and then right after that, MGM hired us to film a show. And then right after that, we got some really big commercials that paid really good money. And then right after that, we got an investment deal to do a bunch of motion pictures. And that all happened the same month that I said, the voice said, change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I took that as a sign. And then, you know, I got a few more voices that told me some things to continue to do. And then I was, you know, flashed back. And then it said to me, look at you. Like what somebody said to me, look at you, meaning like, look how you're changing, look how you're metamorphosing into maybe what you wanted to be. And so I kind of now look at it as a blessing, but it really hurt at the time, but it turned out.
Yeah.
So I guess my point is that everybody, please, that are going through something they don't think they're going to make it through, believe you're going to make it. And it's going to be better.
Because it is. Because you have to believe, right, that you're in spirit's hands, and everything happens for a reason. Would the Christians say God doesn't give you more than you can handle, right? I mean, it's kind of true. It's or my other favorite is God closes the door and opens a window. It's very much true. I mean, when these things happen, they're happening for our own spiritual growth. You really have to believe in that. And when you survive it, you become a happier, more better-seated person. And looking back, you realize why it happened. It still hurts. It still sucks. And as an artist, right, it's those things that you put into your art. Every time you become more connected to the universe, you become a better artist. Because what spirit wants is for that channel to always be open. Uh-huh.
I made an album actually that whole month that went down, and I had these songs I was working on. They're actually Tibetan songs, but they're a piano album. It's called Elysium. And I actually, through that time, I was so depressed that I went in and I recorded this album. The album is not depressing at all. It's enlightening. And it actually became top 10 album on release on Apple Music. And it's basically spiritual music, a lot of Tibetan
Beautiful.
Singing and piano playing, which is my main instrument. And I actually put it together and released it in 1 month. And without the
wow.
kind of pain that I didn't go through, I would have never done it.
Yeah.
I would have never
yep.
done it. And it was kind of like sink or swim. It was my lifeboat, you know, and I went, wow. Look what I'm capable of when I'm put into the corner, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm blessed for that. Thank you, God, letting me get through it.
I look forward to hearing that. I can't wait to hear that. And isn't that interesting how what saves you in a time like that, Christopher, is your music, which is how the two of you started.
Oh, it did. It did. And one of the tracks, I want to tell you that, it actually is in the attached, and it's on the, there's a girl that commits suicide and she hangs herself in the hospital because her baby had died in a miscarriage. And I wrote the score to that, but one of the songs off Elysium is for that. And how it's so beautiful is I'm playing and the whole album is jammed. It's not written.
Mm.
It is jammed. So it's all improv from the beginning with, you know, strings and singing and piano. But what happens is the song gets slower and softer, like you're hitting a piano, a hammer on the keys, and it gets softer and softer and softer and softer to almost like basically you're dying, you know, you're giving up. And that's how the
yeah.
emotion in that playing is. And it's so intense. And it's going like, oh, my God. And what, I just wanted to wrap this up on the conversation about the album. It's done
Please.
Very well, but one of the most compliments I've ever gotten is that hospitals have reached out to me because patients have been bringing them in, the album in. They say, let me listen to this when they do certain things to them because it calms them down. And it helps slow their pain down. So the hospitals have been asking to get my album so they can play it for their patients to calm them down so that they can
so
go
beautiful.
Through, you know. Yeah, and I just, that was like, if the only reason I did that was for that, that was it.
I can't wait to hear it. I look so forward to that. And I can't wait to see the attached, and I'm going to make that happen ASAP. Where can people now see the attached? Can they view it?
The attached is released on a soft, we call it, and I think you know this comment, this theory, it's a soft release, meaning that
sure.
The DVD, we just did a limited amount of DVDs to help pay for the finishing costs of the production, and then it will be pulled, and then then there is no streaming allowed, there is no nothing because it's going to a network. And so
right.
we just released a few DVDs. So they're available at spookedtv.com, spookedtv.com. And if you get one now, we're giving you an autographed poster, which is beautiful. And also the CD
nice.
Is available at the same website. And also the CD is available on every streaming site out there, from Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music. It's everywhere now. And
it's
so
wonderful.
Like I said, it's been a brilliant year for us all. It really has. And I, Philip and I have missed you so much, my love.
I've missed you
so
too,
much.
So much. I love you both so much. And I can't wait to see your beautiful faces. And I can't wait to watch the attached. And please, let's do this again. And I'm very interested in having you both also on my Raising the Vibration show to talk about just what we talked about in the last 10 minutes here, the idea that everything is for something. So keep feeding into the world, and for God's sakes, turn off the news, you know?
And I'll
yes.
Ashin, leave you with this. This is a really good quote. Everything happens for you, not to you.
Oh, that's so beautiful. It's so interesting. In my spiritual work, in my practice, the other day, Spirit gave me this for a client, and it's so applicable to all of them, and it's so much like this. They said to my client, he needs to work to stop being somebody that things happen to, and start thinking of himself as somebody that things happen for. And now you said almost that exact same thing. So that there are no accidents, my friends. Where can people find you online, find out everything about you, and of course, get their copy of The Attached while it's still available?
Well, you just go to spooktv.com, SPOOKEDTV.com. All the music is available on the streaming sites. Our titles are available on Amazon Prime, and Sci-Fi is still playing it. Discovery Channel is playing The Exodus File. You can find us on Facebook. The public pages, so you don't have to be our friend to see them. And we're also going on tour right after shooting this film. We're going on tour, and we're doing the afterlife tour of The Attached. And that where we're going to take the show and we're going to bring the haunted objects to the locations, and you get
Beautiful.
To see some of the scenes and the stories. Look at you actually get to touch the real haunted items and feel the energy yourself, and then we're going to go on ghost hunts. So that starts
Wonderful.
All in June. And you know what's really beautiful, darling, is Gabriel, my son, is coming with us to work with us on the entire tour.
So wonderful. How old is he now?
So he's 13. He's terrible 13s.
I was going to say, I think he was 4 when we met.
Yes.
So.
Yes, he's 13 now, so yay.
That's fantastic. I adore you both, and I thank you for everything. Please come and see me again. I would love that. And keep me posted on everything that's going on with you. The wonderful Booth brothers, my friends, my paranormal and spiritual colleagues, and amazing filmmakers, please go to Spook TV and check out everything they have. They have never made a bad film. They are brilliant, and I'm honored to call them my friends. It's Haunted Playground right here on Live Paranormal. We're at liveparanormal.com. We're at hauntedplayground.com. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm a talk radio host, an interfaith minister, a psychic medium. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I love what the Booth brothers had to say about positivity, uplift, everything happening for a reason, and just believing that spirit is making the right choices for you. If you're interested in booking a private session with me, you can even text me. I will give you my phone number right now. It's 818-437-0886, or you can email me, Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok. I'm just at Sheena Metal everywhere. And of course, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, and my nonprofit is at RaisingTheVibration.org. You can find me on the Live Paranormal video channel, Facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday nights at 9 o'clock Pacific time, doing my 3 web series for them. I'm around. Find me. I'm accessible. I'm all over social media. If you go to my website, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, click on Contact, click on Social Media. It'll show you everywhere I am. Just go and log and follow me as many places as you would like. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity. I love you all. See you next week.